Father, we ask in Jesus' name that, Lord, you'd go before us and you prepare our hearts to somehow, Lord, speak today about what needs to be spoken about and to touch on what can be touched on and to leave alone what needs to be left alone. But above it all is the fact that Jesus Christ came, died, rose again from the grave, and trust in him, faith in him, would bring us eternal life and forgiveness of sins. So, Lord, in the midst of all this, may we not lose sight of that fact. Thank you, God, that eternal fact. We pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, listen, church, grab your Bibles today, even though we're not going to be normal. That sounds normal, right? Grab your Bibles today and turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, and as you're turning there, we're looking at a message today entitled, With Compass in Hand. With Compass in Hand. And the subtitle is Considering the Relevance of Current Events in Light of Biblical Prophecy. So what do I mean by that? I'm going to play with you a little bit today in this aspect. I'm just going to sprinkle pixie dust all over you. And all of a sudden now we're all a bunch of skeptics, okay? We're very cynical. We don't know what we believe. Maybe I should believe in God. Not sure yet. And so that's who I am today. Why do I do that when most of you are Christians, if not all of you? Well, because you're going to encounter somebody tomorrow, today, this week, for the rest of your life. They're not Christians. And in the world they're walking in right now, they're doing everything they can to kind of veil and hide their fears. They've got fears. The world has got fears today. And you, Christian, are the only one that has the right answer for them. And days like we're about to see in a moment that have come upon us are days of opportunity to share the love of God and the peace of God. The danger is many of us may not even know what's happening and on what scale. So listen, you got your Bible open. I know some of you have your Bible on your iPhone or your pad or your tablet. But can you hold up your compass, your Bible? This is your compass for today. That's awesome sights. Wow. This is a compass. This is a compass from Genesis to Revelation to direct you, to guide you, to point you in the direction you ought to go, and to also explain the time in which you live. Every generation of believers since the day of Noah have been concerned about what direction to go and look to God to lead them. And God does that in his Bible. So with compass in hand, look with me, 1 Peter 4:7. The Bible says, But the end of all things is at hand. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, three things he lists. Be serious, watchful in your prayers. So be praying. And the catalyst to your prayers is the fact that you're watching. Why? Because you're serious. Three things you need to know about those words right there. The word serious means to be of a sane mind. Now, normally you'd take that for granted, right? But no longer in our world. The Bible says, be of a sane mind. Be thinking. The word means to be of a reasonable mindset. The word watchful here means to have clear sight on the horizon. It means to be watching with a mind that is engaged, a sane mind with a sense of urgency. So you are sane and you are watching. The Bible says, be like this. And the Bible says that that should birth what is really the word prayer worship. Prayer worship. The word means to be walking, living, thinking, acting in a state of worship in prayer as a Christian. So church, listen. 2,000 years ago, the apostle wrote to the readers and to us today, because the Bible announces, listen, the Bible, our compass, announces of itself, this is the word of God. Now remember, we're skeptics in this room. So we would say, oh, that's a self-fulfilling prop. It's the Bible saying it's the word of God. It's God saying he said it. But if we take your skepticism and put it before the Bible and its claims, you can, in a very forensic way, discover in your cynicism that the Bible is as factual as the very air you're breathing. And you say, how do you do that? Why should I believe you? You are a pastor, a defender of the Bible, a Christian. You're just propping up God. No, actually, I'm not. I'm actually a Christian because I put God through the same cynical test that you might be thinking about today, and it blew my mind. Why? Well, you're about to see here in a moment. As we go through this, be considering these very, very simple things. It's in the context of the end of all things is at hand, says the apostle. Now, what do you mean by that? What is he? That's 2,000 years ago. Was he expecting the world to end in his day? That's not what the word means. It means every day you live, every day you get up. What's today? Today's the 15th of this month, of this year, of this millennia. Every day you get up, believing it or not, you're one step, one day, 24 hours closer to eternity. The Bible says you're actually one day closer to the end. But the biblical definition of the end is not like you and I think of a movie. The movie's over, we pack up and we go home. That's not what the Bible talks about, the end. The Bible says the end is when this epic, when this era comes to a conclusion. There's a lot of time afterwards that takes place. It's called eternity. So when he was talking about coming to the end, he's saying every day you get up, you're closer to the end. And as you approach the end, you need to be very sober, serious in your thinking. Be sane in your mind use. The second thing is, as you do that, you're to be scanning the horizon of what's going on in your world, in your culture. And then that should lead to fervent worship-like prayer. Walking around, living, eating, breathing, being in an attitude of prayer, because we're in these days. Three verses I want to give you regarding this being your amazing compass and putting God to the test. Number one, Amos chapter 3, verse 7. Amos 3, verse 7. Remember, you don't believe this, but Amos 3, 7 says, "Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets." So write that down in your homework. God says, but you don't believe in God for sure, that he's going to speak to his prophets about what he's going to do in advance. He's going to tell them secrets. So then God, listen, God speaks ahead of the event, says that through his prophets, they write it down, and then they wait. Do you know that's an awesome, foolproof way of examining the truth? To be able to have something declared in your hand, and then it's fulfilled. And contrary to what people would have you to think, that the Bible is somehow very, very vague, and you can interpret it any old way you want to or make it up, it's not the way it goes. The Bible, in its prophetic word, is extremely accurate, is extremely detailed. This is how our God works. Second verse, Isaiah 46, verse 9 says, "Remember the former things of old." God is speaking. "For I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me." Watch, this is what he does. "Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things that are not yet done." Isn't that awesome? "Saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." God announces that I can tell the future in advance. Church, listen. No other religious system in the world has got a book like you have, and a God like you have. Your God knows the future in advance. He doesn't keep it to himself. He's revealed it in the word of God, which came through the prophets. And then if that wasn't enough, listen to the words of his own son, Jesus, in John 14, 29. Jesus said, "And now I have told you before it comes or happens, that when it does come to pass, you may believe." So what's going on in the world right now? Church, this week, in fact, I'm going to ask you to write down our first point today with our compass in hand. We're skeptics now, but we're watching on the world scene the rise of an Islamic caliphate. You say, what is a caliphate? A caliphate is a religious government, a spiritually based religious government that imposes its belief upon all breathing people. It's Islamic. And it demands your submission. By the way, the word Islam means what? Submit. It's its very nature. And so the first thing that we look at with what's going on in the world scene today is this week in the news. I don't know how many of you are in tune with what's happening. I have been appalled. I'm shocked. I'm not the only one, it turns out. Much of the world today is wondering why you don't know what happened starting, I think it was last Tuesday, in our world, and that is the birth of a new caliphate is underway. And what it has done is take one third of the soil of Iraq. One third of Iraq has been captured in the last 5 days. Do you know what I'm talking about, anybody? Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. Oh, really? Are you telling me the truth? Okay, I hope so. On Wednesday, about 15 people knew. And since 2003, the United States obviously has been involved in Afghanistan, in Iraq, and then about a year and a half ago, we pulled out, and by the way, the Iraqis said, don't go, we're not ready, don't go. But we pulled out anyway and left them not prepared. And what happened was a Al-Qaeda spinoff group started out of the region of Syria and moved into Iraq and captured one third of Iraq. And just listen, when this started, they got as close as 100 miles from Baghdad. And then on Friday, they were 40 miles from Baghdad, and today they're 30 miles from Baghdad. The target is the conquering of Baghdad, and General Jack Keane of the U.S. Army, four-star general, said, we are looking at the greatest military defeat of the United States since the birth of America. 4,400 soldiers died for the liberation of Iraq, and that is evaporating by the moment. Why? An Islamic caliphate is on the march. They, in their own words, you can look at it on YouTube because it's been translated into English. In their own words, they're saying, we will not stop until Jerusalem is ours. That's the goal. We'll talk about more of that in a moment. Jerusalem. Many of us don't even know what we're talking about today. Many of us don't even know what's going on in the world today. But listen, you will very shortly. You will shortly. And you'll feel it very quickly. Keep your eye on your gas prices. But this is a very serious situation. I'm going to show you 6 slides very quickly. I wish I had time to show you more. First slide. Yesterday, Mosul, this is old, by the way. Look at this. This is happening so fast. This is so old. This is June 11th, a couple days ago. Yesterday, Mosul. Anybody remember what the ancient name of Mosul is? Nineveh. Biblical Nineveh. Yesterday, Mosul. Today, Tikrit. By the way, Tikrit did fall, and so has 6 other cities since the printing of this article. Seizing much of northern Iraq. The Al-Qaeda Liberation Group fighters loot Central Bank in Mosul. Literally, you can watch it on YouTube. They walk out of the bank with $429 million in cash. Walking out like this. You want to hear the shocking news? That's not the shocking news. The shocking news was 800 Al-Qaeda warriors put to flight 12,000 Iraqi soldiers. Trained by the United States. Absolute catastrophe this week. Next slide. The spokesman for ISIS or ISIL, they go by the same acronym, or a different acronym, same group. He says the real battle will be in Baghdad, and that's what they're targeting, Baghdad. By the way, last information I got, the United States Air Force, for example, at Balam Air Force Base, our largest U.S. Air Force Base. Again, you can see this at the London News, the Telegraph, and Guardian. There's pictures of United States Air Force personnel with their cell phones running, evacuating the airbase and getting on helicopters and aircraft to evacuate the airbase. And in the background, there are Black Hawk helicopters, there are fixed-wing aircraft, there are Jeeps and Humvees that they're abandoning. Worse, according to some Pentagon officials, one Pentagon spokesman said, it makes you want to kill yourself, close quote. Next slide. This is a tweet from an NBC news correspondent or reporter, and he says, pro-insurgents image shows insurgents with Bell 407 attack Hilo at airbase near whatever that place is called. Now, you see this Bell helicopter. You see the Iraqi flag that's on it? That is because when we got out a year and a half ago, we had the Iraqis put logos on all of the equipment we were leaving behind because we gave it to them. But this guy's an insurgent member that has just taken control of that helicopter. Next slide. This one really bothers me. This is a pretty advanced Black Hawk helicopter. Those of you who know that, You can recognize that. It's got serious electronic warfare gear on it. This is a tweet from retweet from the news correspondent regarding this jihadist that you see the picture of in the bottom. And this is a Black Hawk helicopter, and they're making a joke. It says, ISIL is classified ads, again, making fun. A member of ISIL is looking for a few good pilots to fly American helicopters seized in Mosul. We have been radically disgraced this week, people, in the international world. America is on the run. And again, we're looking at the greatest military defeat in the history of this nation. I wonder if you knew that this week. Next slide. Okay, this gets very interesting. A Hezbollah force reaches Qunira crossing, halts opposite Israeli Golan deployment. Now, this gets serious for a lot of reasons. And for some of us, I know for myself, because this involves friends of mine there in Israel. Hezbollah is involved in this. Hamas is involved in this. They don't get along. They'll kill each other, but they're involved in this together. Iran has offered the United States help in intervening in the region. If you know anything about what's going on, that serves Iran's purposes perfectly. Absolutely amazing. Hezbollah stops opposite in the Golan Heights, Israel forces. How many of you have been with us to the Golan Heights when we're up on the top of that mountain with those bunkers? You know exactly the view we're talking about. There's a concerted effort going on here, church, and you might sit here and say, well, how does it affect me? That doesn't affect me. It will affect you. It will affect you. Next slide. I forget what number we're on, but this is absolutely amazing. You've perhaps already heard that Israeli defense forces are on full alert. They've called Israeli reserves up. And Gantz, they're equivalent to Chuck Hagel, except this guy is really sharp. He knows what he's doing. IDF, Israeli Defense Force, gets set to target 50, look at the number, 50,000 Al-Qaeda fighters piling up around Israel and Syria and Iraq. Israel's the target this week, right now. It's been the target. Israel is going to react. Israel's going to respond. Israel knows this is it. This is serious stuff. Israel never announces in advance what they're going to do. That's how big this is. 50,000? Imagine for a moment if Israel is successful and takes out 50,000 Al-Qaeda warriors. Think of it. What's happening is that the Islamic world, the crescent around Israel, is banking on Al-Qaeda being successful right now and America doing nothing. This is unraveling right now. And I know it's Father's Day, and I don't want to poke fun, and I want to honor an office. But this is a crisis. We have Americans on the ground in Iraq that are in trouble. I'm not making this up. But our president is in the Southland right now golfing for 4 days. In Rancho Mirage. This is an international crisis. This is a humanitarian disaster. Listen, 500,000 Iraqis have fled into the wilderness because these guys will kill those Iraqis. Epic. Next slide, I think. Maybe we're done. Yeah, we're done with that. We're done with that. We're not done. You always want to have your compass open because the Bible warns about this in the last days. Number two, destabilization of the Middle East. Be skeptical. Here's your homework. What has happened since in the Islamic world and in the Middle East since the Cairo speech of 2009? The Cairo speech, the famous Cairo speech in 2009, gave birth to what's called the Arab Spring. This is phase two of the Arab Spring. Following the Arab Spring is the caliphate establishment. Establishment of an Islamic Sharia Quran-based government that is religious. Look, you're in the United States of America. Our founding fathers were Christians. 27% of them were seminary graduates. For example, John Adams, Samuel Adams, these guys were divinity graduates from Harvard University, which was first a school for biblical training founded by Pastor John Harvard. Don't know if you know that. Our founding fathers said, listen, we're Christians. Here's the deal. We'll create a secular state. We will not have a state religion because if people don't want to be Christians, they don't have to be Christians. If people want to be atheists, they can be atheists. Everybody has the same rights no matter what you believe. How fair is that? Pretty brilliant, don't you think? Why? Because you can't worship God when you have a gun to your head and forced to worship God. You worship God by choice. If you want to be an atheist, you can be an atheist in America, and you're supposed to have all the rights that anybody else has. And you can be a Christian or a Muslim or a Jew or whatever. You can be a space alien person with roller skates living in Venice Beach, right? You have all the same rights we all do. That's what they wanted, and that's what they created. This is not that. This is forced compliance to a religious rule. And it's sweeping the Middle East. Compass check. Mark 13:7. Jesus said, when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be troubled, for such things must happen, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places, and there will be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows. The target is Israel. Listen. The flashpoint in the Middle East, contrary to what you might be told, is not oil. Do you understand that? It's not oil. You know how much oil we're getting from Iraq, for example? I thought we were told we invaded. I thought we were told that we were going to invade Iraq for the oil. Remember that? Anybody remember that? Yes. Price of gas these days, that would have been a good idea. Guess how much oil we got from Iraq? Zero. Zero. The issue in the Middle East is not oil. Technically, listen, the issue in the Middle East is not land. It's not diamonds. It's not, what's happening in the Middle East? Well, exactly what God warned about. What's happening in the Middle East, in fact, I'll call it the Trinity, I'm making this up right now. So, it's the Flashpoint Trinity. This is the issue. Again, you are commanded to not believe what I'm telling you. Go research this. Number one flashpoint in the Middle East is the nation of Israel. According to the Quran, Israel cannot exist. It cannot be allowed to exist. If you're a Muslim today, Israel, the nation, is a real thorn in your flesh. In fact, no Arab publications of maps can allow the area of Israel to be labeled Israel on their maps. It's not allowed. It will say, by the way, on the map, Palestine, which is hilarious. Because most people in the world, do not know where the word Palestine came from. Most people in the world, if you ask them to show you Palestinian coins, flags, or give me a name of a Palestinian king, tell me about their history. You can't do it. You want to know why? In 135 AD, the Emperor Hadrian, when he invaded Israel, he said, I hate Jews. They drive me nuts. And he said, I'm going to wipe this earth clean of these guys. And so let's do this. Let's take the name of Jerusalem and change it to Capitolina. And he called for his advisors. And he said, I'm giving you Roman history. You can go read this in Encyclopedia Britannica. He said, how can I totally, radically, with one sweep, just upset the Jews to no end? And they said, this is easy. You could take the name of their land, Israel, and you could rename it their ancient enemy. Well, who's that? The Philistines. But in Latin, it's Palestinian. When did that happen? 135 AD. Under Roman rule. Very few people know this. What's my point? As long as Israel exists, it's a problem in the Middle East. Number two, as long as the city of Jerusalem exists, it's a problem. And then guess what the third problem is to the Trinity of Flashpoint? As long as there's a Jew existing, there's a problem. That's why throughout all the history of the world, the Jewish people have been persecuted against more than any other people group on the planet. Why? Because Satan has a plan. Can't stand them. That's why you read the Bible and you see how they were dealt with, and you even look at Hitler, Mussolini, on and on it goes. And by the way, anti-Semitism's rising again today. The Bible tells us, listen, you guys okay? Yes. I told you this would not be a normal day. Listen, With compass open, your Bible open, Zechariah 12. Listen, before I give you this, Zechariah 12, this is written 2,700 years ago. It's going to sound like today's newspaper. Behold, God says, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all people. The word people here, you can circle it. It's the word nations. Around about their neighborhood of nations. And they, those nations, shall be in siege both against Judah and Jerusalem. And in that day, I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all nations. All that burden themselves with it, don't get involved with it, shall be cut in pieces, though all the nations of the earth be gathered together against it. This is an amazing thing going on, because what's about to happen in the Middle East affects us. Third thing is the isolation of the Jewish state. I don't need to spend time on this. Number three, check this on your compass, the isolation of the Jewish state, or the state of the Jews, Israel. Joel chapter 3, mark it down. Joel 3, you see, this is a test, skeptic. The Bible says one thing, but the world is doing another thing. Do those two things agree? The answer is yes. Joel 3, verse 1. For behold, in those days and at that time, when I bring back the captives of Judah and Jerusalem, since May 14th, 1948, Israel has been a state, a nation for the second time. God says, in the last days, from all around the world, I will bring my people back. Listen, skeptic, has God brought Jews back to the land of Israel? I will also gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, of judgment. And I will enter into judgment with them there on account of my people. We would ask, why? Well, he says they're my heritage. Notice, Israel, whom they, the world, have scattered among the nations. They have divided up my land. They have cast lots for my people. They played games. They played political games with the existence of my people. And the nations of the world, listen everybody, the nations of the world thought that they could come into town and divide up Jerusalem and divide up Israel. You guys, I'm taking the words out of the mouth almost of John Kerry and Abbas in this last week and a half. Have you ever heard of the two-state solution? Anybody? Anybody? That's Joel 3. Let's get world peace. How do we do it? Divide up Israel and Jerusalem. Why not divide up LA and... Yeah, why not? Why not? Number four, with my compass in hand, this is interesting. It's biblical. There's a rising superpower coming to the Middle East. I wonder if you know who it is. I'm gonna get you thinking right now. They are presently sitting on what may be the first or second. It's a debate now between the United States and this particular country of who's got the largest natural gas reserves in the world. Secondly, they have discovered a massive... In fact, latest accounts say that their oil discoveries could keep them in oil for the next 300 years. The size of their economy is exploding. They don't believe in debt, by the way. If you buy something there, you buy it. You have to have the money. You have to have money to buy it. You can't charge it. You have to pay it. What else? The technology is known for around the world. In fact, this particular nation, people group, has produced more Nobel Prize winners in science and achievement than any other people group in the world. This nation is the size, a little bit smaller than New Jersey. They're number two in the world in supplying fruit to Europe. You know what nation I'm talking about? The rising superpower of the Middle East is the nation Israel. Their weapon systems and technology is second to none. Did you know in Israel they've done away with the barcode system? You know the barcode system? You know why they invented, it's kind of cool, they invented this type of information tracking system of clothing, of materials. So if you buy like a car, if you buy a shirt, if you buy fruit, it's on the label. And all the data is right there. And some of those things can actually even be tracked from space. It was invented, by the way. Israel would capture terrorists and then turn them loose. And then shortly after they were released, they would discover that these terrorists were blowing up other terrorists. Couldn't figure out how was that happening. Or Israel was conducting sting operations and capturing a whole group that was in a meeting. How did that happen? They would use this tracking system, state of the art. It's absolutely unbelievable. It's 1/8 the size of a grain of sand. You can slap it on a donkey and track that donkey from space if you wanted to track a donkey from space. Or a terrorist, or a piece of clothing, or to combat piracy. Technology is amazing. Their economy is exploding. People don't realize that. That, my friend, according to the book of Ezekiel, is going to cause them to look very attractive to an invading force in the north that goes by the name of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal, who, when the Bible says Ezekiel 37 and 38, will say in the last days, God will put a hook in that leader's jaw. By the way, the title is not his name. The title is G-O-G, Gog. It's an interesting Hebrew statement, which means whoever the leader is of the government, he's also the same guy that leads their military. He's the same guy. I'm not saying Putin is the guy. I'm saying the guy will be like Putin that way. Putin commands the government and the military. It's a form of dictatorship. This man, the Bible says, God will put a hook in his jaw, turn him around, and pull him down into the Middle East against Israel, because he will see all of the goods of Israel. And Israel right now is absolutely an emerald gem beauty in the middle of the Middle East. Gorgeous, productive, fruitful, abounding. Absolutely amazing. Number five, the decline of the Christian West. With my compass, I see that the Bible warns me that in the last days, all nations will leave Israel abandoned. All. Now, everybody used to believe that would be true to a point, never America. In the last several years, it has been shocking to see American policy against Israel. Listen, you want to be blessed? Yep. God says, I'll teach you how to be blessed. All nations of the world, bless Israel, you'll be blessed by me. He says, you despise Israel, I'll despise you. Bam. Crystal clear. We've turned our back on Israel as a nation in our policies. We want to be very careful about that. The decline of the Christian West. Some people are saying, good riddance. Get out of here. Bye-bye. Let's just remember this before you get too excited, skeptic about how bad Christianity is. Wherever Christianity has gone, women's rights prevail. Education standards are radically raised. Governments go in peace. On and on it goes. If we implement as God has blessed this nation. Remarkable. America used to be that which exported what was good. Now it's safe to say we live in a post-Christian America. Europe is a post-Christian nation. And then what about the issue as we decline in the West? As somehow as Christians. I love you guys. Don't get me wrong. I love you guys, but it's hard for me to respect much of Christianity or Christians' leadership over the last 50 years. There are some, thank God, but there wasn't enough. So to speak, on our watch, our nation has slipped from things that are necessary for a nation to continue. For example, listen, I'm going to sound like a lunatic with what I'm about to say, but I grew up like this. I'll put it to you this way. Who told you to come here today? Somebody, my wife, she made me. Yeah, okay, but it's a free country. You have the freedom to come. What are you going to do today? You're going to do whatever you want to do today. Are you going to go to sleep tonight in fear? Are you planning on a vacation this summer? Are you going to take a walk? You know the freedom that gives you the right to do that or the opportunity to do that? Do you know how you do that? Listen, young people, you think there's an app for that? You think you're going to be free 10 years from today? How do you know? Listen. How do you know, for example, the head economist for the United States did a study recently. David Walker. Controller General for the United States. He's America's chief accountant. In his findings, he said that if America stopped spending money now and saved $1 per second to pay down our debt, that is what we owe to other people as a nation, over $40,000 per individual. If we saved $1 per second, it would take us 441,000 years to pay off the debt. The problem is, he points out in his study, by the way, it was done by Democrats, Republicans, and Independents alike from the GAO office in Washington. He said the problem is we're spending $40,000 a second. He said in 2048, the United States will cease to exist mathematically. Every one of you in this room, how far away is that? I'll be 80-something years old. But you know what gets me going? My granddaughter is going to be in her mid-30s. Abject poverty is unavoidable for the future. Where's your hope? Well, I'm just going to keep having an iPad. I'm just going to keep having a car. No, you're not. No, enjoy it now. The only thing that you have for sure is that a God in heaven loves you, and you need to trust him. Because mathematically, it's impossible. And the world is in this together, by the way. It's just that America's leading the way in debt. Ronald Reagan said this. Listen, almost sounds like a prophet. Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same. Or one day we will spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was like in a United States where men were free. Ronald Reagan. I don't know how to get into the hearts and the minds of the young people today. I don't know how to reach them with this issue. They're not being taught in school to love freedom. Did you know you have to defend freedom? I had an awesome honor. I couldn't believe it. I got to be on the USS Ronald Reagan on its final sea trial out of San Diego. Got to go out on the deck, but just there wasn't very many people on there. It was amazing. Got to sit out. They told us, sit down on the deck. No airplanes, just sit down. We're going to punch it. We're out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, and I thought that aircraft carrier was going to pop a wheelie. It was insane. You know, on that ship, it says peace through strength. You ever seen that? Ronald Reagan was famous for that, saying that. You know where he got it from? He got it from George Washington. Peace through strength. Church, listen, do you want to live in peace? Do you want your kids to live in peace? Look, some of you more left-leaning people are going to start getting sick to your stomach here in a moment. I want you to know something. By the way, every man in the room is going to understand what I'm talking about. As nations go, do you know how you lay down tonight and go to sleep and wake up tomorrow without fear? Because listen, you either have peace through strength or your enemy thinks you're strong. In other words, nobody walks up in the schoolyard and punches the biggest guy in the class in the nose. You want to be at peace and be blessed, be strong. Nobody messes with that. If the world views us as strong, they're not going to mess with us. Does the world view us as strong anymore? We're in trouble. Keep your eyes on Jesus, my friend, because we don't know what's coming to our own shores if our enemy perceives just how weak we are. As Americans, we think things are so far away. They may not be so far away. There's so much here. I want to be efficient to what we have, but faithful. Church, listen. I'm not going to talk about number 6, which is the need for international debt forgiveness. The economies of the nations of the world are absolutely upside down, inside out. You say, why do you bring that up for? Because listen, you and I are living in a moment when all these things are front page headline news, on top of the fact the Middle East is becoming unraveled. Is it going to lead to a third world war? I don't know. Is it going to lead to the battle of Psalm 83? I don't know. Is it going to lead to Isaiah 17? I don't know. Is it going to lead? I don't know. But I know this, that when God's written it down in advance and you see world events happening, you should have great faith in your Bible. Okay, I'm going to just, in the next 5 minutes, I'm going to slam all this together. International debt forgiveness of nations. The Bible anticipates that and says in Revelation 13, currencies of the world will be ended and people will do transactions through numerical numbers. A prefix to the numerical transactions will be a number 666. By the way, on every barcode, that not the other types of barcode you see on your device, on your item, there's a barcode on everything you buy. Go ahead and look at it. Check it out next chance you get. Every barcode in the United States, every barcode in the United States has 666 on it. What a coincidence. I'm not saying that's it. I'm just saying, what's with that? Every barcode. If you find one and you can't see it, I'll show it to you. The apostate of believers in the last days. Jesus said, listen, the Bible tells us, Jesus said in the last days, many people are going to depart from the faith. If I do a compass check on my Bible, the Bible says in 1 Timothy 4:1 that the Holy Spirit expressly says in the latter times, some will depart from the faith. What's happening? Listen, I'm going to give you four warnings. Four warnings. By the way, those of you who are visiting, all this stuff, you can enjoy today and not pay any attention to this. Because this is for these people here at this church. Four warnings to you about the apostasy of the believer. Watch out for the World Council of Churches. They're doing some very, very, very bad things in the name of religion, in the name of Christianity. Number two, be careful of ecumenicalism. Let's just come together and be one. Doesn't matter what you believe. Let's just wash away our differences and become one religious group. The sacrificing of doctrine. Number three, watch out for what is called Christian Palestinianism. It's a big movement, especially in the university campuses today. Saying again, and you guys know now, 135 AD, Emperor Hadrian gave the name Palestine to Israel. Christian Palestinianism is Jesus was a Palestinian and Israel is the occupier. Do you remember, if you believe that, then you have to throw away much of your Bible. Because God says, in my faithfulness, I'm going to bring Israel back into their land in the last days. So you have a problem right there with that. Fourth is picking up tremendous steam among young people today. This has made its way into many missionary sending groups. It's the aberrant, blasphemous doctrine called Chrislam. The mating of Islam and Christianity. Same God, same Jesus, same, same, same. And it couldn't be further from the truth. Not the same God, not the same Jesus, not the same doctrine, not the same beginning, not the same end, not the same gods for sure. Number eight, the advent of global universal faith. This has been in the news this week. That there's the cry, and I think we mentioned it to you last Sunday or Wednesday, about how the Vatican has brought Islam in to pray in the Vatican as one people. Universal, global faith. The Bible said to watch out for this in the last days as I have my compass open. Number nine, the call for a global leader. The nations of the world said there's too many voices, too many people arguing back and forth, and to do away with all of this partisan division, we need one speaker for humanity. My Bible has always talked about that. And then we have to end here. Number 10, with my compass open, I look at number 10 in the history of America. Of course, I can't touch this in a few moments. The history of America, you say, what do you mean by that? I'm going to give you a little test. Now, this they completely failed at first service, I have to tell you. Completely failed. The history of America isn't even known today. Is it taught today? Is it studied? I could spend the next of my lifetime, I guess I should say, on this topic. You can't remove God from it. It's awesome. But I'm going to give you this little quiz as we come to the end. And I know it's Father's Day, so we'll take some words of advice from some influential people here in this. And before I state these claims or these beliefs, You answer in your mind, should this become private or should this be made public? What you're about to hear in this new America of ours, or whatever we are, I don't know, I don't recognize it anymore, but is this a public statement or is it a private statement? So, for example, in America today, you think it should be okay for somebody to say, quote, suppose a nation in some distant region should take the Bible for their only law book, and every member of that culture would relegate his conduct to the precepts therein exhibited. What a utopia. What a paradise that region would be. Close quote. Should that be kept private? I mean, that's pretty in your face Bible, isn't it? Should that be kept private or public in this new America? Yeah. All five of you think it should be public. The only problem is John Adams said that. You can't disagree with him because you're standing in his country. You just live here. How about this one? Quote, I believe the Bible is the best gift God has ever given to man. All the good from the Savior of the world is communicated to us through this book. But for it, we would not know right from wrong. Private or public statement? Public. You're catching on. Abraham Lincoln said that. How about this? So great is my veneration of the Bible that the earlier my children begin to read it, the more confident will be my hopes that they will prove useful citizens to their country and respectable members of society. Close quote. Who's public or private? Can you imagine saying that in public? I wonder if a parent would send a note like that to a teacher. Hey, teacher, just make sure that my kids are taught the Bible so they'd be good citizens. I wonder what would happen. Boy, the ACLU would love that moment, wouldn't they? Sue that parent. John Quincy Adams said that. Next one. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Let us secure his favor, and he will lead us through the journey of this life and at length receive us to a better. Sam Adams never made beer. His dad was a malt brewer, his dad. Sam Adams, patriot, Sam Adams. Harvard graduate, Sam Adams. Amazing. How about this one? We're almost done. Religion is as necessary to reason as reason is to religion. A reasoning being would lose his reason in attempting to account for the great phenomenon of nature had he not a supreme being to refer it to. President George Washington. Public. Yeah, public. And this one I just threw in just to shake things up because he said it in 1642. That's a long time ago if you're not counting. He says he accounts the scriptures of God to be the most sublime philosophy. I find more sure marks of authenticity in the Bible than any profane history whatever. Sounds like some guy today. That was Isaac Newton. Pretty cool, huh? Listen, here's the deal. The very same God that we in just 50 minutes just ran through these issues promises you. He knows the future in advance. Is the God that says, my son went to the cross to die for your sins. Same God. And he said, if you believe in him, I will take his payment at the cross for your sins and I will declare you forgiven. Amen. Yes. Now I know about you, but I'm going to proclaim that publicly, even if they say keep it private. Because there's no other reason for life outside of that. With what's going on in the world around us, church, in fact, you can stand. We're way over time. You can stand. We won't even close in this song. I've used up all your time. Let's stand. Listen, don't leave. I just said stand. You guys, I want you to keep your eyes on the Middle East this week, this summer. If Israel has that open door to take out 50,000 Al-Qaeda warriors, this is a big deal. They're definitely provoking Israel on the Lebanese border, on the Syrian border. There's a lot of activity going on right now. If necessary, now it's your service is spent, but if necessary, we'll go live in a phone call to that part of the world. But things are very tense. Israel is under no illusion. So what I'm going to ask you to do, you're not going to get hardly any of this out of U.S. news sources. If you just start Googling Iranian news service, Turkey news, Turkeyan news, start getting news outside. England has been very effective, and especially videos, some of them you don't want to see, of the brutality that's taking place. Look, you guys, I love you. This is church. This is a real church. This is not a fuzzy, warm, funny thingy. You know, this is the real deal, you guys. And you need to know this. Your friends who don't know Jesus, listen, I know you love them enough. And this could be a great avenue this week to just go to them and say, man, have you seen what's going on in the Middle East? They probably haven't. And just insert right there. You know, man, the Bible answers to all of these things. Isn't it amazing? Just insert that. And then walk away and watch what happens. But my friend, put your trust in Jesus today. He loves you. You can trust him. He'll never leave you, forsake you. Father, bless these as they go. Lord, fill them with your Holy Spirit. As they go out into this day and this Father's Day day, may they have such great fun. And may we remember that we're able to have fun today because men like Abe Simpson from this church gave his life in Fallujah. And Roman and many others. And may we remember that whatever we do today, that we're free to do, has come at the expense of peace through strength. And Lord, you owe us nothing. But we're asking you in mercy. Please forget the fact, dear God, that we're so sideways. Hear our cry today. And may we go forth, Lord, thanking you. For every moment we have the freedom to breathe. Yes. Now may we go out, Lord, with joy. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen. Amen.